Next will be provided. Details are at WPFWFM.org or call 202-888-5484. There's something for everyone to enjoy. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We're coming to you live from the world-famous Ben's Chili Bowl. Ben's shut down on U Street to remodel, so we're coming to you live from 1001 H Street Northeast. Ben's other location, there's 6 locations around the city. So we'll be rotating to various Ben's restaurants to bring you Crossroads. We want to thank everybody who've been listening in, and particularly those people who've been calling in from around the world. And I know without a doubt who the first caller would be. He calls in from Germany every month. And I want to thank our boy Rick. But this morning, as usual, we have some interesting topics because of what's going on in Washington, D.C. and the takeover. And we have our distinguished co-host back. She's been traveling all around the world. Good morning, Nikeecha Taifa.
Good morning, Roach Brown, Martine. So very glad to be back with Crossroads.
Yeah. Thank you. And before we start, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Here we go. Hey, we know how to reduce poverty, so why aren't we doing it? As Congress rolls back food aid, California families are facing increasing hardships amid the ravages of the COVID-19 pandemic and its long, difficult aftermath. One bracingly simple truth about poverty in America was reaffirmed. The government can reduce it if it wants to. We know that because it happened after the pandemic hit in early 2020, federal policies directed stimulus payments to households, enhanced and extended unemployment insurance, expanded both the child tax credit and food and housing assistance programs, and made health care more accessible. As a result, the U.S. experienced a historic reduction in poverty rates, both overall and for children, despite a crisis that shuttered businesses and put millions out of work. What happened after that? Nothing. These states are debating castration for sex crimes. Experts call it cruel and pointless. Critics say there's no evidence that castration prevents future sex offenses. Yet several states are weighing in on several measures about castration. Last year, Louisiana sparked a slew of sensational headlines when state legislators passed a law allowing surgical castration as punishment from people convicted of sex crimes against children. That was the first successful legislation in a new wave of bills proposing both chemical and surgical castration in such states as New Mexico, Mississippi, and South Carolina. This March, Oklahoma's House of Representatives passed a bill that would make chemical castration a precondition of parole in sex offenses involving a child under the age of 13. As the bill headed over to the state Senate, Republicans made its intent clear, saying, I would destroy this bill in South Carolina, and it's still working its way through the legislature. Similarly, they believe that with the bipartisan passing of the surgical castration law in Louisiana, we could see this punishment be adopted for other crimes. It happens with sex offenses registers. Now you have more violent offenders in states like Ohio and Oklahoma. While these punitive bills can boost legislators on both sides of the aisle hoping to look through on crime, this man was castrated and received 40 years on top of the castration. This is double, extreme, unusual punishment. People, something got to be done to stop all this yogi-boogie. Also, the Trump administration effectively shuttered the Interagency Council on Homelessness, the leading federal agency behind the Housing First model to address homelessness. This model provides people with housing and services on a no-string attached basis, serving as the first step in addressing homelessness. Housing First programs have proven successful at ending chronic homelessness while also effectively reducing arrests and incarceration, particularly when tailored to justice-involved people. The Trump administration's Department of Health and Human Services canceled or revoked $11.4 billion in grants designed to address substance use disorder and mental health issues, a move that would undoubtedly lead to increasing prison and jail populations. The unit DC has the highest rate of incarceration of young people than any city in the country and any place in the world. DC leads the world in incarcerating young people, teenagers. And of course, they are black and brown. That's been what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Now we get to our story. As we said, this is the first of the month. We do a 2-hour special live from the world famous Ben's Chili Bowl. The first hour, we'll deal with Free DC and Court Watch. And we have with us a young lady who's become a symbol, and what's going on with the takeover in Washington, DC. She has become the most recent symbol of President Donald Trump's federal takeover of the city's police. On August 15th, the Metro Police Officer spray paint and forced a 28-year young lady named Afeni Evans at the Navy Yard to stop her for allegedly committing a fare evasion, and she was arrested. But let me shut up and let her say, but joining us also would be Frankie Dearborn along with Afeni Evans, and our topic is Free DC and Court Watch, and we have two guests from Harriet's Wildest Dreams. Good morning, Afeni Evans.
Good morning.
Can we hear you?
Yeah, can we? Okay, cool. Yeah, good morning.
Okay, good morning. We have Afeni Evans and also Frankie Dearborn from Harriet's Wildest Dreams. Yesterday, in front of the D.C. Superior Court in Washington, D.C., there was a press conference held by Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Free DC, and a collection of other nonprofits, community activists. And we went down. There was like 200-300 people in front of the courts. And that's when they had the opportunity to meet this young lady sitting beside me now, Afeni Evans. You want to share with our listening audience what happened to you? She's one of the first people that got arrested, charged, and spray painted.
Pepper spray.
It was pepper spray. I get it twisted. You know what I mean? So good morning, Afeni. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing.
I can't hear her. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm doing as well as I can. This occupation of DC is supposed to be ending in a couple of days, so a couple of weeks. So really just anxious about that and how people's lives are going to continue to be impacted. While I am one of the first people to be arrested during this occupation, I will definitely say that my story is not the worst one or the most dehumanizing one that we've heard so far. There are people that are being disappeared from the streets and they're never seeing their families again, going to work, graduations, going to drop their children off at school. So
you were one of the first people arrested when Trump ordered the National Guard to take over Washington, D.C. Where were you when you got arrested and what happened? Why did they arrest you? And where were you when this happened?
We were at Navy Yard Station. It was August 15th. We were out doing cop watch and also letting youth know about the curfew. We were also making sure that they got home safely and things like that, got back to their guardians, got to the Metro without being harassed by the federal agents that were outside. And three young boys got stopped at the top of Navy Yard Metro Station, at the turnstile. And we began to film the interaction. And I was singled out and I was, pepper sprayed and slammed to the ground.
You
and
were arrested?
Yeah.
Did they put cuffs on you and grab you?
Yes.
Did they tell you why they was arresting you when they grabbed you?
They said it was for fare evasion, but just not true. But
fare evasion, I mean, you didn't pay the money to ride the subway.
Yeah.
And they jumped on you and arrested you.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I wasn't leaving. I was just trying to, like, create space between myself and the police. So, like, and also just the situation. So, yeah.
And did they tell you when they was arresting you, you were being charged with what? What were you being charged for?
They didn't tell me really anything. They also, like, I didn't get Mirandized or anything. I just got pepper sprayed, and then there was, like, DHS and FBI and a bunch of different, like, federal agencies along with
my friend. They put you in the car and your way.
Yeah, I was outside for a while. They transferred me to a few different cars for a while, and then they took me to the hospital, but they didn't do anything there, so...
So what happened? They took you from the hospital, you went to the jail, and you was arrested and charged with what?
I got processed like 7 hours after I got arrested, and they told me that I was getting charged with obstruction of justice, resisting arrest, and fare evasion. So they were charging me with a felony, which is why I was held overnight.
So you were held overnight where? The D.C. jail?
At First District and then at the Central Booking.
Okay, Central Cell Block. Yeah, I know about that place. I've been in there a few times. It's not a friendly environment. I know about that. So you stayed locked up for 3 hours. How did you get out? I understand that the community stood up and raised hell about what they did to you and the treatment you went through. Were you also there, Frankie?
Yeah, we were there. We were doing cop watching. As Afini said, we were surrounded by about 20 federal agents plus local police. And, you know, our local police right now just feel emboldened, right? They walking around, they beating their chest like, this is our city and we're going to treat residents however we see fit. But what people need to know that this is the resident city. This is our city. It's not the city of the police forces. And so Afini was definitely within her constitutional right to film the police. We all were. We're trained to do this work. We are trained to cop watch. But the cops, especially Sergeant Deal of the Metropolitan Transit Authority, brutalized Afini, singled her out, slammed her on the ground. And we are calling for accountability. Overnight, we did what we do best. You know, we have the infrastructure for liberation. So we called our lawyers, we called our contacts, we, you know, every step of the process, we needed to know where she was, where her physical body was. And there was a point in time where, you know, they took her in this police car and then drove her two blocks down the street and had her just sitting there. And then from there, we walked to 1D because you're supposed to go to First District. That's the closest to Navy Yard. She wasn't at 1D. And so from there, we're calling CCB. We're calling 1D. We're calling because we don't leave our people to be taken by the state. Mm-hmm. We don't leave our people. And so that next morning, we found out that she made the lockup list. We had a lawyer go in and do a wellness check. And we put out a mass call for community to come and do court support for Afini. And Afini came out as Afini does, because Afini is a freedom fighter. And Afini came outside and said, fuck 12. And then there was just this eruption of celebration of just like, you know, when we fight, we win. And also, when you regularly do this work, you know how to navigate the system.
Let me ask you this. She was released from Central Cell Block after being held in custody for 7 hours.
Yes.
So no formal charges were filed.
Charges were, her charges were dismissed. When she went in to see the judge, they dropped all the charges. And that's how you know that the system is rigged against our people, because we see it time and time again. They snatch our folks off the street. They have to sit in CCB overnight in deplorable conditions just for many of them to not be papered. But something different is happening in the water right now, Roach, because now with this new attorney general, with this new USAO, they are papering every case.
That's right.
Yeah. And let me just say that I'm really glad to see another trend beginning to happen, that people are pushing back. I mean, judges are pushing back. Grand juries are pushing back. I mean, there used to be a whole thing about, you know, it's so easy to get an indictment that you could prosecute a ham sandwich. Well, now we have a situation where someone allegedly threw a sandwich or whatever.
Yeah, a hoagie.
Law enforcement, and it was not indicted. I mean, this is a new day, right? And this new generation, you all out there, y'all are doing it. And it just makes my soul feel so warm that, you know, Roach, you know, we can retire. You know that now, Roach.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this new generation, they got it.
We're going to give it to y'all. They got it, and they fighting hard and strong. Let me ask you this, Frankie. You said y'all was on court watch. What is court cop watch? What was cop watch? What does that mean? You're watching the police?
Yes, we're watching the police. We're watching what they do. We watch how they interact with the public. It is within your constitutional right to film the police. And so we're asking everybody, be a good upstander when you see ICE, when you see FBI, when you see all of these 32 independent police agencies that we have here in D.C., film the police. Film them. And we have a new place where folks can send in their footage, and it's called filmthepolicedc.org.
Repeat that.
It's filmthepolicedc.org. And anytime you see them, send it in. It is in collaboration with Migrant Mutual Aid Network. We're combining forces so that we can get all of the footage and build towards what accountability is going to look like. And that may be in the tune of some class action lawsuits, because we're fighting in the streets, and we have to also fight in the courts. It doesn't stop.
You know, y'all have caught cop watch, but you also have court watch.
Yes,
what is that? I mean, y'all got caught. You're watching the cops, and then you're watching the court.
Of course, we're
watching. Court watch.
So court watch is a program where we train people up to watch the courts. And it's important that we are watching, because it puts the judges on notice. It puts prosecutors on notice. We can see the decisions that they're making about our people. The violence that starts in the streets with the police continues into the courtroom. Just yesterday, we did a wraparound court and jail support, because last week, court went on for 12 hours. So from 1:30 p.m. to 1 a.m., hundreds of people seen, almost 140 people of our people. And you know who's coming outside of those courts. It's Black people that they're targeting and attacking. And so when we watch the courts, we're able to identify the trends in the data. We can use that data for counsel facing advocacy to change legislation. We can also use that as an opportunity to see who needs support. Sometimes people just need a ride to get to court. Sometimes people just need a phone call and a friendly face when they're being released. So we are literally mitigating the harm that's being caused by the carceral system in real time.
Okay, Nikisha, Frankie mentioned something about it was no paper. You want to explain to our audience what no paper means when you get arrested?
Yeah, no paper means that the case was dropped. It was dismissed. It was not prosecuted, you know. It's one of the best outcomes, because you don't have to, you know, go to court. But, you know, it's harassment, okay, to have all of these cases come in, have people sit in jail or, you know, spend hours just, you know, sitting and waiting for the case to be no paper. And it's no paper because there's no evidence. It's no paper because it's harassment.
You know, It was said in the paper that the new U.S. Attorney for D.C., Jeanine Pirro, She's the U.S. Attorney for D.C. She stated that they want to lock up everybody to get arrested. They want to get the maximum punishment and the maximum time that they can receive. And they're talking about dropping the juvenile crime level down to 14 to take 14-year-old kids to trial as adults. D.C. leads the world in locking up our youth. Don't take my word for it. Look at the Justice Policy Institute. You can look at the stats. We lock up more youth and black people in Washington, D.C. than any place else in the world. And they're talking about increasing the punishment, locking up more youth, doing away with bond in terms of you got to pay cash now to get out. No more third party custody being released to an organization or whatever. You got to have money to get released now from prison, which further exasperate the criminal justice system because a lot of folks can't afford no $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 bond. And then the only thing I've seen in 5,000 was roaches. You don't see that many. Nothing but roaches and ants in our neighborhood. So if y'all to take roaches as payment, we can pay everybody's bond. But I'm just joking. That's the thing. But we need to make sure that our folks. Let me ask Afina this: when they release you, Afina, did they give you any funds and take you back where you was?
Central cell block, but. Frankie said, everybody was out there, like all of our court support people, like it was my friends and my community members that.
Is that your first time being arrested?
It wasn't. This was my first time being pepper sprayed, at that close of range. But I was arrested around 10 p.m. and I didn't get released until 1. So,
1 o'clock in the morning.
1 o'clock in the afternoon the next day.
Oh, okay.
So. This wasn't my first time being arrested, but this was my first time being pepper sprayed and having to sit in it that long.
Did it shoot it in your face, your eyes? Did it burn?
Yeah.
What was that feeling like to be pepper sprayed by law enforcement and you didn't do nothing?
Well, I was in the military, so we get trained to like be pepper sprayed and to be like gassed. So it wasn't my first time like experiencing the pain. I think it was just my first time like having to deal with it that long. Luckily for me, my eyes were closed when they sprayed me. So like it was on my face, and it wasn't until I opened my eyes like 5 or so minutes later that I actually started to feel it in my eyes and things like that. But they poured water down the front of me. So pepper spray is oil based. So what happens is like, they poured the water down on me and it like spread everywhere. So I was burning really from head to like the tops of my thighs and like even like my private areas and like everything. There was like pepper spray everywhere. So I was just like in an extreme amount of pain most of the time.
And you told me you was in pain. You didn't make an offer to take you to a medical facility or a hospital or something?
They took me to the hospital, but in the sequence of like the events and like the way that it happens, the hospital a lot of the time is really just used as a tool to keep you longer and to delay the time that you're actually released. The more time you I got arrested at 10 p.m. The more time you spend before you get processed, the more likely it is that you will not make the lockup list. And on a weekend, that means you're staying there Saturday and Sunday.
Sunday night, yeah.
So they took me to the hospital, they wiped my forehead and my cheeks and that's it. And then I went and I sat in a police car for another like 4 or 5 hours before I got to 1D.
Do you have any kids?
No.
Okay. So no kids was there to see what you were going through. No kids were there.
I mean, the kids that we were like doing cop watch for that were stopped in the metro, like they saw what happened to me.
So the attorney yesterday that I met, what is his name? Andrew Clark, I believe. Is he your attorney? He's representing you. You're filing any legal action about this unjust arrest that you just received?
So he does represent me, and we are exploring all of our legal options right now. Honestly, I just really wish it never happened. So I'm just really trying to process. We just had to process through that, and we'll see what happens in the future.
So let me ask something, if I can, Afeni. Okay, I'm just saying.
Hey, Auntie.
Were you named after Afeni Shakur? Just kind of curious. I mean, yes. You know, carrying on the tradition and all that. You know, she was a fighter, a warrior. You're a fighter, a warrior. I don't know if your parents knew that when you were born. If you were born with that name or if you adopted it, did share with us.
I adopted it, and I did adopt it after Afeni Shakur. But yeah, I took that name in 2020.
All right.
Nikisha, you want to tell our listeners who Afeni Shakur is or was? Because a lot of folks might not be familiar with her.
Yes, Afeni is a former member of the Black Panther Party, but she's most known, I guess you could say, as the mother of Tupac Shakur, Tupac Amaru Shakur. And I remember Afeni from Tupac was just a little kid, you know, running around department in meetings, you know. But you know, Afeni had her own, you know, demons, you know, as a result of the oppression and repression. You know, she became addicted to drugs and the like, but she was a ferocious warrior, profound sister in the struggle. And her son Tupac was born while she was unjustly being held in prison. So so I just always wanted to ask you that, so that's good to know that you consciously chose that name.
Let me ask you this, Frankie. What other organizations besides Free DC that's involved with Court Watch, Cop Watch, and what else is Harriet the Wildest Dream is doing? I mean, when I went there yesterday and I saw these 200-300 people at the press conference in front of DC Superior Court, it warmed my heart. Because I come out of the days when we had marches and we walked, shut down bridges, agencies during the 60s and the 70s, and to see this kind of support coming back to be reignited in Washington, D.C. I saw so many white people, Spanish, black, white, standing there, everybody saying free D.C. Nobody seems to like what's going on to this country. What else is it, Frankie, who's participating in y'all? And also, what can our listeners do to help Harriet's Wildest Dream with Cop Watch, Court Watch, and other programs that y'all are doing to keep our people in tune to what's happening?
Absolutely. You know, it's going to take all of us to get to liberation. We need each other, and we cannot be free until we're all free. And both Cop Watch and Court Watch are powered by Harriet's Wildest Dreams. We train regularly, y'all. So if people want to get involved, you can go to mobilize.us/HWD and you can find all of our offerings. We do regular political education. We do our Court Watch training is the last Thursday of every month. Just last week, we had 500 signups for Court Watch. So we need people watching the courts. We need people filming the police. And we also need people talking to their congresspeople. This week, later this week, if you go to freedcproject.org, we're going to be doing congressional visits because we need something called a termination resolution. This occupation has to end. The brutalization of our people, the targeting of our people has to come to an end. And I really do want to sober everybody. And yes, we need to free DC. And also we have to focus on the people who are going to be targeted. And that is the most marginalized among us. That is people east of the river. That's the folks who have historically been disenfranchised. And so we're going to do congressional visits. If you are listening from somewhere outside of DC, we are asking you, because we are not a state, we are asking you to call your congresspeople, put pressure on them so that we can have what's called a termination resolution once again. And what that will do is, in the occupation, it is one avenue where we can get federal forces outside of this city. But yeah, we ask that y'all get involved. We're going to continue to do what's called Freedom Watch. And so Freedom Watch is wraparound court support and jail support services. Until the last person is seen at C-10, we're going to be outside. We were outside until 10 p.m. last night because the lockup lists are just egregious. Like I said, we've seen them in the hundreds and we've never seen it to this level before. So we need donations, we need supplies, we need water, we need snacks, we need fruit, the Gatorade. So when people are released, we can get them Uberized. So I have a few different ways that people can plug in and donate as well. If you go to bit.ly/freeusall, we also need to be preparing to build up our bail funds, because with the executive order last week, Trump is trying to take our people for ransom and take DC for ransom. So we need to be building up those bail funds. And this last part, I will say to my youth, to my community, we are under different times, y'all. And so one, we need y'all to go places with people together.
Second, don't go by yourself.
Don't go by yourself. We need people to be vigilant and be smart. Keep your head on a swivel. So as far as y'all's open containers, the little marijuana y'all like to smoke outside, they will find any entryway in order to antagonize and lock up our people. So I'm asking that our community be smart.
You're listening to Crossroads on WPFW 89.3 FM. Crossroads is brought to you by the Pacifica Radio Network. And this show and other shows that's on PFW, I'm so glad that we were connected with this, because we're able to speak our mind and be honest and open. And it ain't no jiggy boogie. And the jiggy boogie we talking about them locking up like a Feeney and different folks. Somebody said yesterday at the press conference that they locked up 700 to 800 people. And I heard that it was only 3 to 5 people out of the 700 were white. The majority of the people are arrested are black and brown. And they're talking about with the new state's attorney, Jeanine Pirro. She come out of New York City. Her husband received a pardon from President Trump when he was first term. And Jeanine Pirro's husband was a member of the mafia. He had mafia connections. And he got a pardon. Then they got divorced, and Trump appointed her as a U.S. attorney for D.C. Man, there's so much jiggy boogie going on. You don't know where to go or where to turn. For folks who want to listen, who are listening, who want to participate in this discussion with Frankie Seaborn and Afeni Evans, this is WPFW. Stay tuned, and your phone number to call is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Tune in to Crossroads and listen to what's going on. If you got a call or a question, we'll be glad to take it. Frankie, what's happening when they lock up these 600-700 people? The jail is already overcrowded. Where are they housing all these folks who have probably been arrested by the National Guards and ICE? Where are they being detained?
So CCB has been so overcrowded that they're keeping people at the precincts. The folks that we talked to last night, they are not being transported from the precincts until the morning time. Mm-hmm. And like Afeni mentioned earlier, if you don't make that lockup list, that means you have to sit and you have to wait longer, especially over the holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. They're also infringing on our rights, y'all. I talked to a young man yesterday. He was literally walking while black, minding his business. The police literally snatched him off the street. Another young couple we talked to were in their house. The police came into their house without a warrant, arrested both of them, and now they have stay away orders from one another, and they're on the same lease. So there are real impacts and ramifications for our people when we have these trumped up forces. And again, I will stress, for people to get involved, there are ways for you to get involved.
So you're saying they came in this couple's house without a search warrant?
Yes.
No probable cause?
No. And lock them both up.
So what can be done? If they snatch somebody and lock them up and take them right down the court, how do they get in touch with Court Watch or Cop Watch? How do they get in touch with your organization to make sure they get some help to try to get out of that situation?
Well, we're going to be outside. We're going to be outside greeting people as they're being released, talking to people so they can have a phone call, passing out water and snacks. And so, again, if folks want to get involved in these efforts, we're going to be doing Freedom Watch every single Monday until the occupation is over.
Okay.
And you can go to HWD's website or mobilize.
It's just this hypocrisy. It's just absolutely staggering. I mean, did Trump, we're talking about the same man who refused to deploy the National Guard to protect the U.S. Capitol during that January 6th insurrection when armed white mobs sought to overturn a lawful election. And now we, the hypocrisy is just, it's just astounding that people don't see through the smoke screen that's being, you know, put up there. And it's just another example of why D.C. statehood is not just a political issue. It's an issue of basic human rights, an issue of self-determination. You know, the stripping of our local authority, treating our people, our brothers and sisters out here on the street like pawns in their political games. I am very grateful for organizations like Harriet's Wildest Dreams who are out there on the front lines, and they absolutely and completely must be supported. We must connect all the dots between what is happening, what's happened before in the past, okay, and what's happening right here, right now. We got to connect those dots.
You know, I was arrested several times growing up, a whole lot. And I knew that when I got arrested, I would be taken before a magistrate or a judge and have an arraignment and bond to be set. And I know from there I'd be transported to the jail. So I knew what the process and the procedures were. But I also knew they had to have probable cause or have a search warrant. Now what's happening now that these men and women are being arrested without a search warrant, without probable cause, because you're in a certain location and you're black or brown. What the hell is going on? I mean, the lockup folk, without a warrant coming in your house. I saw over in Southeast, they went in and smashed the window in one of the cars, snatching people out of the cars. I mean, what do we do? Who can we turn to? Our power is limited. There was a guy, a good friend of mine, who passed away not long ago named Royal Hyde. He wrote a song called Taxation Without Representation, and he was talking about forecasting this kind of thing. If we don't have our rights enforced, our constitutional rights, the First, Fourth, 14th Amendment enforced, what do we have to look for? I don't know what to say except that I'm glad that Harriet's Wildest Dream is there, but what can families do, Frankie, and Afeni? What can people do who listen to your story, how you were arrested, body slammed, tear gas, pepper sprayed, locked into a cell and didn't even have a charge. And they move you around from location to location. And now, because of Harriet's Wildest Dream and the support that you have, you were able to get out. But there's folk who don't have that support. What do they do if they're in that situation? Go ahead, Frankie or Feeney, either one of you.
I would say that something that I think all of us need to shift our expectation and our perception around is the ways in which the police and the prison industrial complex operates in our daily lives. I think a part of what makes the police state so powerful and so vast is the fact that there are politicians that we continue to vote for that invest in things like that. They continue to invest in police, the size and the scope of the police state. And what we're learning right now is what happens when you continuously let the police run roughshod. It shifts the culture and people's perception and expectation around what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to operate. And it also normalizes their brutality. What we can do right now in this moment is know that even if this occupation ends, the brutality of the police and how the prison industrial complex operates in our lives, especially in a place like DC that does not have a full state jail, does not have the capacity to hold all the people that they're trying to incarcerate in this place, where people will be sent to Oklahoma, to Nebraska, to Florida, to all these different places. It is important for us to know that this does not end with this, with Trump's occupation, that there is something that we have to do as a community to shift how we hold each other accountable, how we deal with crime, and how we expect our politicians to do the same.
There you go.
And, you know, organizations like Harriet's Wildest Dreams, we will continue to be around. We will continue to do the work. The work does not stop.
Y'all get into funding. How do you operate? You get into, wait a minute, before I can answer that question. We have a caller on and a couple of callers on, in fact. Let's take our first call. A question or comment, please. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I want to say hello to everybody first.
Can you speak up a little louder, please?
Okay. What about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. First of all, I don't think many of us got the memo. I heard the sister say earlier that it's about to be over. Well, they're pushing legislation for 180 days, ending this in February the 10th, going all the way through the winter. And another thing, I think we play with words as cliches. The word fascism has a definition. It's just not a cliche word. Everything in that definition of the word fascism is what we are seeing right now. So when you ask the question, what do we do, Mr. Roach? We have to fight. It's wartime. And when you express that word fascism, you understand the answer to your question, what we have to do. And lastly, I want to ask the sister, when you were in Central Cell Block, what are they feeding you? What are they still feeding, a bologna sandwich and some sweet juice?
Well, I remember them green bologna sandwiches.
They are still doing that. I'm Muslim, so I don't eat stuff like that, even if it's turkey bologna, like you, because you just never really know, like, whether or not it actually has pork in it. So I didn't eat anything in there, but they are still serving that same nasty little sandwich with bologna, the pale bread.
Mm-hmm. For 50 years, they've been serving bologna, man, and it turned green. I mean, it's terrible. Thank you for calling in, man. We appreciate. Okay. Hello, are you still there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, so what are we prepared to do if this thing goes to February, all the way through the holidays and everything? What are we prepared to do?
I mean, so, you know, a lot of people don't know me that well, but I guess folks are getting to know me now. I am definitely somebody who says that anti-fascism is an active politic. If you look at the history of anti-fascism and how fascism has been beat back in the past, it was definitely not by marching, singing, and flower bringing. It definitely was not that. So, you know, I'm not going, you know what I'm saying? I got to keep it cute, keep it careful on the airwaves. Yeah, but yeah, it's definitely given some form of organized defense of some kind. And, you know, I'm not telling y'all to do that, but, you know, if you want to, it sounds like a good idea.
You know, I like that.
Yeah, and that
excuse
that,
me.
That
throw
was
this into
all
it.
Huey Newton. That was all Huey Newton police. That was all Huey Newton police, the police. That was Huey Newton's push. Mm-hmm. He pushed that. And
you know,
Chairman Fred Hampton's birthday was just the other day, and I didn't hear it mentioned. And these are the freedom fighters that I think we forgot about. And when we tell our stories, please, people, let's tell. We know it's a good, bad, and the ugly, as the sister talked about affinity. But let's stop talking about the dark side when we give out lift our people up. Because the white folks never do that. They only talk about their good side. And they make you go dig for their dark side. So let's stop telling people we've been locked up, because I've been there. We don't have to make that a conversation piece. Make them dig for our dirt like they hide theirs. So I just want to add that, and y'all be peaceful.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to throw this in. If our next hour, this is a two-hour show on the first Tuesday of each month. The second hour, we'll be joined by Reverend Willie Wilson of Union Temple Baptist Church. And he's planning on a couple of big events in Washington, D.C., the UniFest that they had for 15 to 20 years or more. And they're talking about the Million Man March. So they're meeting and organizing all over the country. So folks are doing something. So if you want to find out specifically what's happening in Washington or one area of Washington, you can tune in for our second hour with Reverend Willie Wilson of Union Temple Baptist Church. He's been in touch with people all over the country and out of the country who are concerned about what's going on. So that's one of the things they're doing. So if somebody who's listening, I just want to throw this in that, there's an old saying, they came from my neighbor one night and I didn't say nothing. The next night, they came for my next neighbor. I didn't say nothing. And in the morning, they came for me. There wasn't
nobody
there.
Nobody left to speak
so
up.
So people, I don't care. As my wife always been saying, she quotes Albert Einstein, that if you want things to straighten up, it ain't the people who's in charge of making the rules and the laws and being evil. What's going to bring the country down is those people who sit on the side don't say or don't do nothing. And believe me, you got to get them off your butt. Your house is on fire. Get them out of there. So you got to do something. We'll take our next caller. You on the air. Caller, question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Is this me?
All day long.
Hello? Oh, thank you so much. No good.
Come on with
everybody.
It.
Yeah, something just occurred to me about what people could do. I know that you were talking about, you know, the old bologna and cheese sandwiches that they used to give you when you're in jail. Yeah, I've been in jail a couple of times, but, you know, for very minor things, you know, when I was very young. But the reason I'm calling in is that I would suggest everybody that goes in to not eat anything. And if they say, you know, why you don't want to eat, you say, well, you know, I'm in here out of just a blatant indiscretion, so I don't want to eat indiscretion food, you know. And if a lot of people, if enough people do not eat when they go into jail, you know, at least that is something, you know, where you're putting your foot down and resisting, you know, that this whole format of just dragging people out of their homes without a warrant, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's all illegal. So, you know, just don't, you know, eat anything that they offer. Okay.
Well, that's a good suggestion. And but what we're talking about, if in order not to eat, you got to get locked up to eat in order to get confronted with that bologna and cheese sandwich. We're saying, let's don't get locked up. What can we do to prevent that or stop that before we even get to the bologna and the cheese? Let me get that sub that he threw at the federal officer last week who they tried to indict. They wouldn't indict him for a hoagie sandwich. I'll take the hoagie sandwich and I'll eat it all up with the paper included. So what can we do in the street, put politically, socially, actively, to keep from getting locked up? Because, you know, if you get locked up, everybody can't deal with that. Some people are going to commit suicide. It's dangerous. I mean, everybody can't deal with that whole mind shift. So we talking about what can we do. So listen to the second hour of Crossroads this morning. We'll have somebody who know what to do, who's doing something, okay, and who's coordinating right. People all over the country and around the world. So thank you for calling in, brother. Good. We appreciate you, man.
Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Nikita, you got something that you want to?
Yeah, I was trying to get off of mute. Yeah, I have a question for Feeny and Frankie. I'm so much, like I said earlier, you know, in terms of the younger generation, you know, really have stepped up to the plate. My question is there camaraderie or communication or organizing together with, like, the older groups, like say Ceasefire, Don't Smoke the Brothers and Sisters, maybe Parent Watch or Concerned Black Men. I'm trying to remember. So, well, you know all the groups. They cross-vote all the time.
Yeah,
is there communication? Is there cross-fertilization? I'm just kind of curious.
So I would say on my end, there has not been a whole lot. I've connected with some like the older Black Panthers, like Brother Pete and like some of them.
Yeah.
And like some of like the folks from like the Africa family. But other than that, like I will say there's just like there's a gap between like the older generations and what we're doing as a younger generation. Truly, like, this moment like would not have existed, like the viral moment and the video and all that stuff, without Frankie. And we're standing on the shoulders of people that did this work before us. So I think that there does need to be like some intentional building there, because we all need each other. And without an intergenerational, multiracial, working class movement, we're not going to be able to fight back fascism in the way that we need to.
Thank you for that, Moach. We should talk about that because you have these folk on, and I mean, there needs to be some intentionality. So maybe we can have conversations about that.
We can do that. In fact, Ceasefire just had one of the largest cookouts on this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I think it's been over 15, 20 years they've been having this cookout. And they've been having, that's one of the largest cookouts on the East Coast for returning citizens, mm-hmm. people impacted by the criminal justice system. And there were several thousand there. I would say 3,000 to 5,000 folk was up there this weekend. And it takes this kind of effort of people coming together, and we can organize, because when I was up there, they sent the drone. Every time there's a cookout up in Upshur Street Park with Ceasefire, we look up in the sky, and the cops send a drone on, and the drone flies all over the crowd, taking pictures and taking whatever else they take. So we're being monitored and scrutinized by these drones anytime we try to get together. So with that many people, organizations, there's so many organizations in Washington, D.C. saying the same thing that we're saying. We got to get together. So please listen to the second hour, what we're doing with Reverend Willie Wilson, who will give you some specific things that you can do or say or what you can do. But somebody got to do something. We're talking about the churches. They're talking about locking up our kids. We got 5 minutes to go. Let me shut up. Frank, you want to get some closing remarks, you and Afina, before we go? We got 5 minutes. You want to give us some closing remarks, how to get contact you, yeah. your email or phone number, and what people can do who want to join Court Watch or Cop Watch?
Yeah, I will say, me and Afina went through some things that night, y'all. And what we need people to continue to do is exactly what we did that night. Afina was not in the wrong with what she was doing. It was within her right. And the state will try at every turn to stop us, especially in our good doing. And so we're asking that folks get trained up. We need you cop watching. We need you court watching. We need you filming the police. Submit your videos to filmthepolicedc.org. Go to Harriet's Wildest Dreams webpage, harrietsdreams.org, and find out how to get involved. We also need you talking to Congress. So there's lots of action steps. There's lots that we can do. And like, as simple as when you see an interaction, stand up. When you see youth being targeted, stand up. It's going to take all of us. And I cannot stress that enough. Like Afina said, multicultural, it is the people versus fascism. It's us, y'all. Okay. We've been waiting for.
All right, Afina.
Yeah, I would just say that, like, fascism takes hold while bystanders witness. It is all of our responsibility to fight back against what is happening right now. There's a lot of folks are saying this ain't got nothing to do with me, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know, I'm gonna put my head down. And that is an intentional conditioning. Like, we've been intentionally conditioned to be fearful of what the consequences could be if we actually tried to imagine ourselves outside of this capitalist pro-police state. If we were courageous enough to not only imagine it, but actually push towards it, we are conditioned to fear having that courage and actually acting on it. And this is the time for all of us to realize that we can do this, that we are more powerful together than we would ever be individualized. And no matter what they try to tell you, whether it is ICE, whether it is DHS, whether it is MPD, whether it is Metro Transit, the police state, the right, they are all in lockstep. They know where they're going. They know what they're trying to do. We do not have the luxury right now to try to separate ourselves out and put and try to brand the movement and all that stuff got to be put to the side. This is the moment that we have all been waiting for true liberation, and we can take it. We have the power to do it.
Thank you. Our guest has been Frankie Seaborn and Afina Edwards, both from Harriet's Wildest Dreams, and we had an interesting discussion this morning. I just want to in closing and say, people, they're talking about locking up bad youth. D.C. lock up more youth than any city in America and in some more than some countries. Please, let's get on board and see what we can do to stop it, because they're talking about criminalizing our youth. Punishment and lock up doesn't stop the crime. Jobs, social services, everybody know what it takes to make this thing look. They sent $300 billion to Ukraine to fight the war. Give us half of that. Give us a third, or give us $50 billion, and I bet you we can reduce the crime in 10 or 15 of these cities around America. Give us the money. We got the horses. but we don't have the resources. We don't need you to tell us how to run our community. We can run our own community. Give us the resources that we can do it. Stay tuned for the next hour with Reverend Willie Wilson for some lively discussion on some things, some more things that we can do to combat this takeover in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Crossroads. Our time is up. My name is Roach Brown. My wife's name is Mertine, and we'll see you the next hour in a few minutes. And thank Frankie Seaborn and Afeni Evans. I enjoyed both of you ladies here this morning. And Merry Christmas to you both. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, but who would they judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, oh, oh.
The Can I Kick It outdoor summer movie series presented by Shaolin Jazz is back. And it's coming to Southeast D.C. for the first time ever. Enjoy 3 nights of martial arts and action films, scored live with hip-hop, soul, and more, mixed by WPFW alum DJ Two Tone Jones. The series kicks off Saturday, August 16th, with the screening of Captain America: Brave New World at Anacostia Park. It continues Saturday, September 20th, at Skyland Town Center with the screening of Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Then on Saturday, October 25th, the series concludes with the screening of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker at the Capitol Hill Boys Club Artist Gallery. Each event begins at 7 p.m. with a guest DJ set, followed by the movie at 8:30 p.m. Blankets and lawn chairs are welcome. For more details, visit shaolinjazz.com. shaolinjazz.com.
The United Black Community presents the 21st annual A Love Supreme, a musical, poetic birthday tribute to Netaru, John Coltrane, featuring the Nasa Abadie Quintet, Cindy Brown, Kenny Carroll, Nana Malaya, and more on Friday, September 19, 2025 at 7 p.m. at E-Life Restaurant, 9033 Central Avenue, Capitol Heights, Maryland. Details, UBC and DC at yahoo.com, 240-832-7203. Thank you.
Brother to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east. Come on.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east. Yeah.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east, my brother, to the east.
Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes.
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM.
Brazilian nonprofit Educarte presents a night of Afro-Brazilian culture with Ile Aie percussion and dance ensemble from Liberdade Salvador, Brazil, celebrating its 50th anniversary with a return to Washington, D.C. on Friday, September 5th, 8 p.m. at the UDC Theater of the Arts at 4200 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. Their performances feature drumming, songs that tell the stories of resistance and hope, and dances inspired by the orishas and traditions of candomblé. Details about this Afro-Brazilian celebration in D.C. featuring Ile Aie at educarteinc.org, educarteinc.org, or 202-450-8541.
Jazzy Sundays at Anacostia, an 8-week jazz and R&B concert series happening this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. in the heart of the Anacostia Arts District at 1234 Marion Barry Avenue. Food vendors will be on site and lawn chairs are welcome. Jazzy Sundays in Anacostia runs through Sunday, September the 7th. Details at anacostiabid.org.
Are you ready to move, groove, and exercise with the WPFW family? WPFW's annual 5K Run Walk for Total Fitness happens Saturday, September 13th from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. This fundraiser will be held at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland. In addition,